Thanks, John. We have some physios in our service. I'm sure they can help you over morning tea. As John said, for the traditionalists, please keep your Bibles open. That's going to be very helpful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We always thank God, writes Paul, for all of you and continually mention you in all our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writing to a small church in Thessalonica where God did a remarkable work by the power of his Spirit. Thessalonica was a bit like modern day Sydney. People were sophisticated, wealthy, proudly independent, and maybe just ever so slightly pleased with themselves. And like every pagan city, the Thessalonians also had their favourite pagan idols. And as if to prove not much has changed, like Australians who devote themselves to the gods of pleasure and property investment, the Thessalonians slaved after the gods of commerce, trade and personal satisfaction, with a bunch of pagan gods thrown in to appease the early version of the diversity police. Amongst this buffet of spiritual options, Thessalonica also included a tiny Jewish community, one that would ultimately prove hostile, but at least at first, this Jewish community gave Paul and his team of missionaries the opportunity to build connections with the locals. In the unlikely setting of Thessalonica, what we might describe as hard soil, the power of God's Spirit was on full display as the message of Christ crucified arrived, verse 5, with deep conviction, leading these former pagans to joyfully receive the forgiveness of sins promised in Jesus' name. Or in the language of verse 9, as Paul declared the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, God's Spirit moved these Thessalonians as turned from idols to God to serve the living and true God. The language of turning is important because that's the language of repentance. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so a local church was born, and people's names were written in the Book of Life. Terrific. Praise God. So far, so good. But again, as if to prove nothing's changed, since the world is opposed to Jesus then and now, less than a month after planting this church, such violent opposition arose, Paul and his team had to flee the city. And so Paul becomes like one of those anxious parents at the moment whose kids are sitting in the HSC. You watch on, but you're powerless to do anything and you're unable to communicate. Paul was forced to wait and to wait from a distance. What would become of this new church, do you think? This barely converted Christian community. Would they persevere under pressure, or would they turn back to the world? Without knowing what he would find, Timothy, one of Paul's colleagues, he later returned to Thessalonica, and following this visit, Timothy brings Paul the best possible news. More than persevere, as gold is purified in the furnace, this church has made huge strides in their Christian maturity. And so Paul has the best possible news. You can feel his delight, verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in all our prayers. We remember before our God and Father, what do they remember? Your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's fair to say there's no hint of casual Christianity in this church. No camouflaged disciples who claim the Christian faith and yet who blend into the world around them. That being so, Paul commends these people, verse 2. You can see there, he thanks them for their work produced by faith, labour prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. Or if we were to translate that into the language of the vision of our church, these Thessalonians are being transformed by Jesus, a fact for which Paul gives thanks. And it's with this theme in mind, just as Paul gave hearty thanks to God for his work among the faithful disciples in Thessalonica, I want to follow Paul's example and thank God for his work among you. I want you to know how thankful I am to God for your work, your labour, and your endurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of our scripture teachers who, out of devotion to Jesus, they strap on their armour for almost 40 weeks a year and step into classrooms. For your perseverance, I give thanks to our Father in heaven, and I pray that through your work, whole families in our district will come to saving faith. Wouldn't that be terrific? I give thanks to God for those in our church here who point our kids and youth to saving faith in the Lord Jesus on Fridays and on Sundays. You know, this term, Rachel mentioned before, she's taking the kids through the book of Romans. When you go through the book of Romans, in my experience, big things happen. On the way home from church last week, unprompted, one of the young kids said to their mum, "I want Jesus to live in my heart. And I want to receive the forgiveness of sins." Their words. So they stopped and prayed then and there, mother and child. There is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of young people, for which we should pause and give thanks, don't you think? I'm reminded of Psalm 78. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Youth works tell us, study after study, 70% of people decide to follow Jesus before they turn 18. And so it's with that in mind, I wonder, would you be willing to serve alongside Rachel or our Nexus leaders and their teams, telling the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord? That more people would say, "I want Jesus to live in my heart, that I might receive the forgiveness of sins." And so I join with Paul. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Then there's the army of people who express their love of Jesus by labouring to care for our grounds and our buildings, and those who spoil us with morning tea and supper and espresso coffee every week, making this the warm community that it is. I give thanks for your love and your labour in the Lord Jesus. To that, we might add those who serve us week in, week out, our AV teams, those who serve us with music, those who decorate our physical spaces, people who arrive long before any of us, and those who run our prayer breakfasts, those who make prime time happen. For your work produced by faith, I say thank you. And what about the tireless individuals who lead our food drive? What a terrific classic Christian way of being a blessing to our city. For all this and more, this work produced by faith in our Lord Jesus, I give thanks to our Father in heaven. I could keep going. So I will. Because it's right for me to feel this way, and perhaps especially for the labour prompted by love that most of you never see. The work produced by faith that happens out of public view. Those who take it upon themselves to assist the ministry team in meeting the pastoral needs of our church, often without being asked, visiting the sick, following up the absent, preparing and delivering meals, doing the shopping, driving someone to church. And then there's those for whom I give thanks regularly, those who serve on parish council and especially our wardens. You are well served. You might just be shocked at how much these people devote to the good of our church. And for them, I say thank you. To which I could add the team who make Christian community possible at the Bupa Aged Care Centre at Round Corner. Unseen by most of us, unglamorous maybe, though the morning tea is pretty good. But there is a group of people devoting themselves to enabling older saints to persevere in hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, for which I give thanks to our Father in heaven, and maybe you do too. And so what about you, verse 9? Look closely with me. Of the Macedonians and the Achaeans, what do they say about the Thessalonians? They themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I want you to notice, it's a very, very important way this sentence is structured. Notice how turning to God from idols, so we might say becoming a Christian in other words. Notice how turning to God, what does it do? It produces acts of service in these Thessalonian Christians. And I simply make this point. In response to God's mercy, serving God and serving his people becomes a necessary expression of your Christian faith. They turned to God from idols, with what result? To serve the living and true God. And so if I can say this as gently as possible, when I call upon you to serve in some way, when I ask you to do something, your senior minister is grateful. And I think I've expressed some of my thanks this morning. And he is thankful. But please understand, you're not doing me a favour when you serve God's people. I'm thankful, but you're not doing me a favour. Service of the Lord Jesus, in response to the grace you have received, service is a fundamental aspect of what it means to be a Christian. And I suggest, living as we do in a consumer culture, this attitude will be radically countercultural. The good news is there are loads of ways you can express your faith here. Your love of the Lord Jesus, there are loads of ways you can express your faith in our church. You've got a QR code in front of you on some of those seats. You can scan that, or you can talk to Alison directly, or you can come and talk to me. But do you know one of the most effective ministries? Costs you nothing. Anyone can do it. You don't need to bother Leslie about safe ministry training. Anyone can do it. The simplest form of ministry and encouragement that you can provide to your brothers and sisters, I call it the ministry of turning up. I don't make a habit of quoting Woody Allen, so if you're about to speed dial the Archbishop, just hold off. I'll make an exception, though. He said 80% of success is turning up. Now, I don't know if the sentiment is quite right. I don't know if the percentage is quite right, but you get the point. The ministry of turning up. You've turned up. And I put it to you, putting a high price on our public meetings, it's one of the most powerful ways that you can encourage other disciples to persevere, and they you. Because you can bet your bottom dollar the world is discipling people not to turn up. And when we turn up regularly in large numbers, this is how we remain focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the encouragement of turning up, I thank you. Because we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God for you. In finishing, I want to let you know of something exciting. Carl's had a baby this week. But, well, Imogene did, let's be honest. I mean, Carl was supportive, but... Carl's our student minister, and I've invited him to stay on our staff team when he finishes college next year. I don't know if he's accepted yet. But by affirmation, as our Archbishop says, we'll take that motion as passed. Look, we have prayed for so long, haven't we, that staff would arrive in Dural, haven't we? We've asked and we've asked, and here we are. To have Carl on staff would be a step change for us. Given the size of our church, we've been understaffed by probably 1.5 to 2 people for a very long time. Having him on staff would give us scope to reboot our Friday Kids Ministry, our junior leader pipeline, and of course providing much needed support and leadership for our Sunday Kids Ministry. There's only one of Rachel to go around. And I'd suggest in a church of our size, and a growing church indeed of our size, we can make this appointment possible. I believe we can. And so I hope that together with me, we'll do just that. By expressing your gospel-shaped generosity in a Thanksgiving offering this month. I wonder if you'll join me in doing that. The details are in your newsletter. And so today, as we give thanks for what God has done in faith, let's keep focused on the goal of seeing more and more people transformed by Jesus. I think of that youngster. I want Jesus to live in my heart. I want to receive the forgiveness of sins, young and old. Let's keep ourselves focused on seeing more and more people transformed by Jesus. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Why don't you join me? Father in heaven, we do thank you for your kindness to us, and we take this opportunity to pause and to give you full and hearty thanks for your kindness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the prospect of eternal life, and for being called into service of our King. So we do pray that your Spirit would so work in our hearts, inspire us, grant us wisdom according to our needs, and give us a heart for the lost that surround us in this district. And Father, would you be pleased to work through us, that Jesus would be rightly honoured. And it's our desire, Father, to see more and more people coming to saving faith in him while there's still time. Take us and use us, we pray. And as Si led us so helpfully before, may we give thanks in all circumstances through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.